the faith hate base is causing a genocide in my karma. We are going to die.
A prominent Uganda gay rights activist whose picture was published by an anti-gay newspaper has been bludgeoned to death.
I'd like to take a moment to introduce my husband, Chasten Buttigieg.
Where should we start? With Joe's speech, with the day's events?
I thought his speech was very strong.
We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We must end this uncivil war.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
To This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine, I'm Lucia Chappell. Biden orders queer federal job rights, a rainbow review of the inauguration, and Cato remembered as Museveni maintains power. All that and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Melanie Keller.
And I'm Joe Bainline.
With NewsWrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending January 23rd, 2021.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear
that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God.
Joe Biden of Delaware and Kamala Harris of California each made history on January 20th when they were sworn in to lead the U.S. government during the next 4 years. Biden becomes the nation's oldest president. Harris is the first female and first person of Asian and African descent to hold the office of vice president. We'll highlight the queer view on the many inaugural events that day and evening later in the program. The Biden administration hit the ground running immediately after the inauguration. President Biden signed 17 executive orders to reverse some of the regressive policies of his predecessor. One order directs all federal agencies to follow the U.S. Supreme Court's 2020 affirmation of workplace discrimination protections for LGBTQ people. According to a White House fact sheet, all persons should receive equal treatment under the law, no matter their gender identity or sexual orientation. The Biden-Harris administration will prevent and combat discrimination on the basis of gender identity and sexual orientation. Needless to say, virtually every LGBTQ advocacy group in the country celebrated the move. New White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters that overturning the ban on transgender military enlistees would be among additional executive actions to be taken by the president in the coming days and weeks. The United States has also rejoined both the World Health Organization and the Paris Climate Accords. President Biden's executive orders also rescind the Muslim travel ban, stopped further building of the southern border wall, and boosted support for a path to citizenship for young people who immigrated with their parents when they were just children.
Former Democratic presidential contender and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg began a number of expected firsts in Senate confirmation hearings for presidential nominations. The president has tapped Buttigieg to lead the Transportation Department. Here's part of his never-before-heard opening remarks on January 21st.
I want to thank President Biden for trusting me with this nomination. And I'd like to take a moment to introduce my husband, Chasten Buttigieg, who's here with me today. I'm really proud to have him by my side. I also want to take this chance to thank him for his many sacrifices and his support in making it possible for me to pursue public service.
Buttigieg promised under questioning that he would strongly enforce safety standards, lobby for substantial investment to fix the nation's deteriorating highways and bridges, and make climate change a central component of all policy decisions. Most reports characterize Buttigieg's response to the senators as impressive. In the words of Montana Democrat John Tester, "You know what the hell you're talking about, and that's pretty damn refreshing."
Retired Army General Lloyd Austin responded to a transgender troops question from New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand during his confirmation hearings.
I support the president's plan to overturn the ban. I truly believe, Senator, that, as I said in my opening statement, that if you are fit and you're qualified to serve and you can maintain the standards, you should be allowed to serve. And you can expect that that I will support that throughout.
Aaron Belkin of the San Francisco-based Palm Center applauded Austin's comments, saying that it's heartening that Defense Secretary-designate Lloyd Austin fully understands the urgency of ending the military's harmful transgender ban. Some officials say that it might take the better part of a year to implement the new trans-inclusive policies, but Belkin disagrees. He says, very little needs to be done administratively to finally end discrimination against transgender troops, and we look forward to the arrival of a fully inclusive policy very soon.
President Biden's pick for Secretary of State is Anthony Blinken. He also established his queer-friendly credentials during confirmation hearings this week. Blinken said he plans to fill the post of envoy to the LGBTQ community that was left vacant during the previous administration. He'll also allow pride flags to fly at U.S. embassies around the world. Last year's controversial religious freedom-based Commission on Unalienable Rights will officially be rejected, along with the racist and anti-queer policies expressed in its report. The Secretary of State nominee also mourned the highest number of murders of transgender people, particularly women of color, that we've ever seen. In a refreshing break from the past 4 years, it's possible to believe Blinken when he says that standing up for and defending the rights of LGBTQI people is something that the department is going to take on and take on immediately. A gay veteran of the Obama administration will be joining Blinken in the new Biden administration. Ned Price was a spokesperson for the National Security Council, and the Washington Blade reports that he's been named the official spokesperson for the U.S. State Department. Price will be the first openly queer person to hold that position.
The nomination of transgender Pennsylvania Secretary of Health Rachel Levine as the new U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health is another mark of President Biden's campaign promise to have the most diverse administration in U.S. history. Levine would become the first transgender person to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate for a role in the federal government. Levine is a pediatrician and a former state physician general. She won praise for leading Pennsylvania in the fight against COVID-19. The Associated Press notes that she is a graduate of Harvard and Tulane Medical School and president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, who has written in the past on the opioid crisis, medical marijuana, adolescent medicine, eating disorders, and LGBTQ medicine. Levine fought off the transphobia of a few reporters and politicians during her successful tenure as the state's leading health authority. Her informative daily state COVID-19 briefings have helped advance the profile of transgender people in general. President Biden said in a statement that Levine will bring steady leadership and the essential expertise we need to get people through this pandemic, no matter their zip code, race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability.
The new Biden White House website is yet another sign that the next 4 years will be quite different for LGBTQ people in the United States than the last four. Gender-neutral options on contact forms have already been installed. People visiting the site who want to leave a comment will now be given a number of pronoun options, including she, her, he, him, and they, them. Website visitors can also choose other and write in their own preference or select prefer not to share. Prefixes are updated to include MX alongside Mr., Mrs., and Ms. The queer youth suicide prevention group Trevor Project was one of the LGBTQ advocacy groups to praise the new options. Their statement observed that respecting pronouns is part of creating a supportive and accepting environment. It seems likely that the Biden administration will also bring back parts of the Obama White House website devoted to LGBTQ issues that were disappeared by his successor. According to the New York Times, a Spanish language translation of the website has already been restored.
Finally, have you seen the wildly popular meme of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders sitting in a folding chair at the Biden-Harris inauguration, all bundled up in the cold and wearing colorful, oversized mittens? Jen Ellis made those for Sanders in 2016 after he lost the Democratic presidential nomination to Hillary Clinton. Ellis said, I sent him these mittens kind of as a shout-out to who he is, and I put a note in that said something to the effect of, I hope you run again. She told the online news site Slate that her Gmail has crashed after getting literally thousands of requests for a pair of mittens, like Bernie's. Ellis is a second-grade public school teacher living quietly with her partner Liz and their daughter in Essex Junction, Vermont. She was unaware of all the attention and was remote teaching away from home during the inauguration. "You're not going to believe this," Liz exclaimed as she walked in the door. Ellis says the family doesn't usually watch television, but they took out the set so that their daughter could watch the historic inauguration. "Oh my gosh, I cried," she said when asked about her reaction to the event. "I'm 42 and I've waited 4 decades of my life. I'm tearing up just thinking about it. See a woman be vice president. We're just a huge feminist household celebrating this momentous occasion."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending January 23rd, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Melanie Keller. Stay healthy.
And I'm Joe Bainline. Stay safe.
This just in, U.S. President Joe Biden has issued an executive order overturning his predecessor's ban on trans people serving in the military. The policy barring enlistment or transitioning while in service has been in effect since April 2019. Biden's incoming secretaries of defense and homeland security are now directed to implement lifting the ban.
People are saying, "I can finally unclench for the first time in 4 years.
I thought Lady Gaga and Jennifer Lopez were fantastic.
And the home of the brave waves its rainbow over the U.S. presidential inauguration later in the program, after another presidential election brings to mind a somber anniversary.
Will Uganda be able to understand the faith-based hate behind the bill, which is causing a genocide might come up? We are going to die.
That was Ugandan activist David Kato. He was murdered 10 years ago this week, ironically the week that President Yoweri Museveni won a sixth term in office. Museveni stoked the kind of homophobic violence that led to Kato's death, back when the country's infamous Anti-Homosexual Act was up for debate and Kato was a leading opponent. Anchor Mark Miracle reported the activist's brutal murder in January of 2011 on Pacifica's California Evening News.
A prominent Uganda gay rights activist whose picture was published by an anti-gay newspaper next to the words "hang them" has been bludgeoned to death. Police said today his sexual orientation had nothing to do with the killing and that one robber, as they put it, had been arrested. Activists were outraged over the death of David Kato, an advocacy officer for the gay rights group Sexual Minorities Uganda. His slaying comes after a year of stepped-up threats against gays in Uganda, where a controversial bill has proposed the death penalty for some homosexual acts. Kato, who had received multiple threats, was found with serious wounds to his head caused by an attack with a hammer at his home late yesterday in Uganda's capital, Kampala. Kato later died on the way to the hospital. Lynn Johnny reports from Kampala.
David Kato was 43 years old. His outspoken nature earned him both praise and ridicule. Campaigners say the motive behind his killing is clear. They've linked it to what some say is institutionalized homophobia in Uganda. Kato was a critic of Uganda's proposed anti-homosexual bill, which, if enacted, would have made all homosexual acts illegal, some punishable by death.
They are supposed to be spreading love, but now they are spreading hate. So now if the bill passes, because they are going to arrest anyone who gives medicine to me, anyone who gives services to me, is going to be arrested because he's promoting homosexuality. So where are we going to run to?
He was one of 100 people named and shamed in a Ugandan anti-gay tabloid newspaper last year. The banner, "Hang Them," was emblazoned in print above their heads. They were accused of recruiting Uganda's youth into homosexuality. Despite death threats and intimidation, Cato and two others successfully sued the paper for damages. Others were attacked and went into hiding. One of the country's most prominent anti-gay activists, Pastor Martin Semper, says homosexuality can be cured, but he doesn't support the tabloid newspaper's call for the death penalty.
Homosexuality is a condition that can be changed with proper counseling, faith in God, whether you are Muslim or Christian. We completely disagree with the position of hang them, but however, we are calling on all those who are practicing this lifestyle to watch out about the dangers that are involved.
Uganda has banned publications from naming homosexuals and inciting violence. But to Ugandans, who are still pushing for human rights, it's a nightmare they've not awoken from. Linjame, Al Jazeera.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.
Museveni's re-election campaign was the most controversial and violent in Uganda to date. One thing that has not changed is his attitude toward LGBTQ people in his country. He spoke with CNN's Christine Amanpour not long before the vote.
We think they are deviants. They are not killed, they are not harangued, they are not persecuted, but we don't promote them as if it is an alternative way of life. But we don't agree with the Western way. If our opinion changes in future, let it change organically, but not imposed on us.
President Yoweri Museveni.
Brother to brother, brother to brother, brother to brother, brother to brother.
This is Essex Hemphill, reminding you that you've tuned into This Way Out.
Homophobia, turn me around, keep on a walking, keep on a talking.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, a new life for me. Ooh.
U.S. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris were sworn into office on January 20th, and a collective sigh of relief was heard around the world. There was no cheering crowd due to COVID pandemic restrictions, and thousands of militarized guards ringed the Capitol in the wake of the violent insurrection 2 weeks before. However, the days geared for broadcast ceremonies featured a rainbow of uplifting highlights, from Biden's speech to the remarkable performance of National Youth Poet Laureate Amanda Gorman. Andy Hum and Ann Northrup of Gay USA take us on a guided tour of their favorite queer and queer-adjacent moments.
Where should we start? Should we start with Joe's speech, with the day's events, or where do you want to go?
Take your pick, whatever strikes you about the inauguration.
I mean, you know, it was a great relief. You know, people are saying I can finally unclench for the first time in 4 years. So I think it was kind of a healing thing. I didn't hear us really mentioned in the proceedings. We used to really lobby for that. But he emphasized the fact that democracy has prevailed. We've come so far and we have so far to go. He spoke out against nativism and he spoke out against white supremacy, which was right in the middle of the speech, clearly.
A rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism. We must confront and we will defeat.
You know, I was worried about this taking place outside, what could happen, but I think doing it in the sunshine and redeeming the Capitol after the coup attempt was essential.
Yeah, I was worried about that too, so I was very glad to be proved wrong and to have them show that they could carry it off. And I also noted and was surprised and thrilled by his explicit mention of white supremacy. That was a great moment. I thought his speech was very strong.
Today, we mark the swearing-in of the first woman in American history elected to national office, Vice President Kamala Harris. Don't tell me things can't change. To all those who did not support us, let me say this. Hear me out as we move forward. Take a measure of me and my heart. And if you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America. The right to dissent peaceably within the guardrails of our republic is perhaps this nation's greatest strength. Yet hear me clearly. Disagreement must not lead to disunion. And I pledge this to you. I will be a president for all Americans. All Americans. Here we stand, across the Potomac from Arlington Cemetery, where heroes who gave the last full measure of devotion rest in eternal peace. And here we stand, just days after a riotous mob thought they could use violence to silence the will of the people, to stop the work of our democracy, to drive us from this sacred ground. It did not happen. It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Not ever.
Of course, I noticed other things like Bill and Hillary Clinton didn't seem to be speaking to each other.
Did I notice that?
I thought Lady Gaga and Jennifer Lopez were fantastically
strong. Whoa, when she came out of that dress, Lady Gaga, and J-Lo's dress for that matter.
Well, I thought their voices were terrific, and they both did a great job, so I was happy about that. That came off very well, and I was scared about that after what we saw 2 weeks ago. And then, of course, just afterwards, when they're in the Capitol going through the usual ceremonies without the usual lunch, it was a little grating to have Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and other Republicans standing up and being so gracious.
You know, Joe said, you know, we must end this uncivil war.
Through struggle, sacrifice, and setbacks, our better angels have always prevailed. In each of these moments, enough of us have come together to carry all of us forward. And we can do that now. History, faith, and reason show the way of unity. We can see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature. For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury, no progress. Only exhausting outrage. No nation. Only a state of chaos. The answer is not to turn inward, to retreat into competing factions, distrusting those who don't look like you, or worship the way you do, or don't get their news from the same sources you do? We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue, rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal. We can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts, if we show a little tolerance and humility, and if we're willing to stand in the other person's shoes, as my mom would say, just for a moment, stand in their shoes. Because here's the thing about life. There's no accounting for what fate will deal you.
Republicans have been so intransigent for so long. We'll know very soon whether they will be willing to work together.
This is our historic moment of crisis and challenge. And unity is the path forward.
So let us leave behind a country better than the one we were left. With every breath from my bronze-pounded chest, we will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the gold-limbed hills of the West. We will rise from the wind-swept Northeast where our forefathers first realized revolution. We will rise from the lake-rimmed cities of the Midwestern states. We will rise from the sun-baked South. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling good.
That was John Legend singing at the Celebrating America concert, preceded by inaugural poet Amanda Gorman. Our thanks to Andy Hum and Ann Northrup for their assessment of the Biden-Harris inauguration. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Melanie Keller and Joe Bainline, produced by Brian DeShazer. Juliana Kanyomozi and Talking Heads performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentham, and donors Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, Washington, WOOL Bellows Falls, Vermont, 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, y'all. Stay safe and stay tuned.